Hello, guys. Hello, family. Welcome back to Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. I hope you all are doing well. I hope you are enjoying 2025. I am so excited to be back this week after taking some time with our healing series with Sister Stephanie. She did a phenomenal job. But from here, we're back, hitting the pavement.
Hitting the pavement. In more ways than one, Jewel. Yeah, more ways than one. Yep, your job
absolutely.
Pavement. There we go.
From a spiritual standpoint, so this is going to be just a phenomenal podcast today. So I hope you guys are ready to delve into more topics this upcoming year that will ultimately uplift our communities and nurture each one of our spiritual growth. Please, please, please remember that your ongoing support and donations are invaluable, and we encourage you to continue to contribute to this mission of love and light with our podcast. And don't forget to donate to FundraisingCup.org Ministries in order to continue supporting those in need internationally. I believe we just donated some funds to help our brother Isaiah in Uganda. We're hoping to assist him with the project of getting a well or purified water within his community. And
he needs
that. The progress we're making with that project, which I'm so excited to be a part of periodically this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you guys already hear him chiming in. You know who's back.
I know. I'm so sorry. Forgive me.
Okay. Welcome back, Brother Thomas. Welcome back. We're so glad to have you. Brother Thomas, did you know that it is the Chinese New Year?
Yes. Well, it's that. And also, I do believe that it is the, what did I see? Something it says, this is the end of something. Has to do with pagan. This is the last day of it, actually. I'm sure that the evilness out there is going to be running afoot. Chinese New Year. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think for many cultures, this Wednesday marks the arrival of spring and the first day of the year of the snake. Would symbolize
good luck. Oh my God, is that not appropriate? The serpent,
which ironically symbolizes good luck, rebirth, and regality.
I see the positive in it. I don't see the positive in the serpent. I think the serpent is a really evil person.
Mm. Well, no, that's what the Chinese New Year states. That's what they're celebrating.
The dragon. I remember the Chinese New Year. They do the parade with the dragon.
Yes, they do. I don't typically celebrate the Chinese New Year, but I do encourage others that if you do, I think it would be a good time for you guys to clean out the old, delete some of those harmful emails, text messages that really got on your nerves and get ready to start anew. I know Brother Thomas and I mentioned to you guys before that biblically the year tends to start around March, April-ish. But these are the different times of year that other cultures celebrate the new year.
Yes, other cultures. Exactly.
I always encourage anytime you are going to celebrate the new, bring in new and push out
mm-hmm.
the old that doesn't serve
mm-hmm.
you any good.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say this,
Jewel, as far as the Chinese New Year, the Koreans that celebrate it.
Oh, I didn't know
Chinese
that.
New Year. Oh,
oh, wow.
Yes, they do. They have special foods. Usually they have things in the Asian market. I think it's a certain kind of rice cake that they do. Mooncake. Moon cake. Yeah. That's what they do for Chinese New Year. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I never
now
thought it was
that
good at tasting, but a lot of people love it. Mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting, and we don't talk a lot about it because I know a lot of the Christian churches, you know, just kind of label it as pagan and
pagan.
So forth. But a lot of these other cultures have celebrations around the moon, and we don't we don't really partake in it or even furthermore understand it because a lot of that knowledge is typically hidden from many of us to know, you know, why certain groups celebrate the moon, manifest during moon cycles and so forth. And I know I've taken some time to kind of research because I'm just curious to know what people are doing and why. And
well, we thought for a long time that the moon brought about our tides, but that's not true. The moon doesn't have anything to do with our tides. What it does do, the moon affects us as far as emotional.
It does.
I mean, how many people like going out in the moonlight? I mean, young couples. I mean, it's just, it's something about it. It's a magical feeling when you look up at the moon and you see that it's so, you know, you can actually look at the light of it and not squint, you know. I mean, you can see the moon, but when you're looking at the sun, you can't even hardly see it because of the glare. But there's no glare with the moon.
Yes.
It's just very, I don't know,
it's
ambient.
It's very magical.
To look at it
and see that it can, you know, light up so much of the earth and still not be blinding to the eye.
No, but it's very soothing. I mean, you can go out and just lay at the stars and look at the moon and you're going, all is well with the world. That's a false hope. But, you know, I mean, right now, all is well with the world? No. But future? All's well that ends well, as we say. That expression really is going to hold true very soon, very, very soon.
Yes, yes. Well, today's topic, guys, is the selfless act of parenting. And this topic today, I have to be transparent, that it's just very dear to my heart. I know we had a podcast, Brother Thomas, for mothers on Mother's Day.
Yes.
And fathers
mother
as
sacrifice.
Well.
Yes.
That's what it was, the mother sacrifice. And fathers as well on Father's Day. But this one, specifically on the act of parenting, is something I have been holding back on speaking on because, you know, I dealt with some betrayal from my parents. And it cut so deep for me that I wanted to speak on it at a time where I was able to heal and fully understand the purpose that God had over my life and how I had to overcome that time so I can also be a source of healing for others. So that is really the reason why I kind of delayed this particular topic, but I am finally at a space where I feel comfortable enough to share some of my story and also listen to some of Brother Thomas's story and hope that those who have experienced similar things can also get to the stage of healing with us. Right, Brother Thomas? So
yes,
this will certainly be eye-opening, to say the least.
That is the goal, to get to that point, exactly. And I think that's what we were saying before, you know, I think the Father feels the same way. God feels the same way. He feels like, you know, if his children will turn away from this evil world and turn back toward him, he will welcome them with open arms. And that's his hope. That's God's hope. And we, as, you know, children of God, need to realize the sacrifice that he's made and continues to make. And if we do that, we honor him. But if we don't, we dishonor him. Plain and simple.
And you know, something that came to mind, Brother Thomas, I was thinking that there are many people here that's sent to Earth to help others draw back to our Father. You know, those through acts of love, especially, and being kind and nurturing and healing and teaching.
Yeah.
And all of these sorts. They were sent here specifically to help guide others back to our Father. And
or at least strive to. That's their task. Yeah, that's their task.
Yes.
But, you know, and
that's
it is
the thing.
It's a lengthy one, but it's also a very difficult one. I mean, people don't realize that the Chosen, that they have an awesome task, and sometimes it almost feels foolhardy. It feels like, why do we continue to do this? Just like I say to God, you know, sometimes I say, God, why do you continue to try to put yourself through this? Try to, you know, keep on thinking, today's the day. Today's the day they're going to wake up. They're gonna see. I'm the way, the truth. You know.
Yeah.
Come back to me. I just, you know, and there is going to come a time when he's going to say, you know, I've waited long enough.
I know. I think that the most challenging part is returning back to the Father after being given that task. And stating they decided they don't want to come. They've chosen.
Well, that, but you know what, Jules,
they've chosen
too,
love.
I think of this way. I really think, though, what's really going to be most difficult is those that do turn back from the evilness. They're going to have a feeling of, I'm not worthy, you know, and I'm doing this because I feel I need to do this because I feel drawn back, you know, to God. And to know whenever God sees them, he's going to have his arms wide open to receive them. And they're going to be so blown away by that. They're going to be saying, why do I deserve this? You know, why? Because I have forsaken him and I've rebuked him and I've spit in his face and I've done all these things. Why would he ever, ever even consider me as being part of the family again? But that's God.
That is. And you know, as parents, Brother Thomas, we have an opportunity to see what that kind of love is like with our own children. That even when they may do things we don't like, harmful things, whether it be to themselves or with others, after disciplining them, still opening your arms and letting them know that they have a safe space with you and you will love them unconditionally.
There's nothing like a parent and child's love. There's nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's supposed to be that way, put it this way, but there are many whose children have tossed their parents to the side and vice versa. And, you know, it's a life learning experience, and it's something that, you know, God never promised us a rose garden. He did not.
No.
He promised us that the world would be thorns. And there are plenty of them.
He certainly did. And I think that when we live in a world that's full of manipulation and deceit, sometimes it's very challenging to speak on topics like this and do it with such a purity that you can relate in all aspects and be honest about not just your life but how you see others responding and living theirs.
Oh, so true. So true. And
you know,
in fact, I see myself as replicating how God feels. Many may not know my situation, but you know, my children have tossed me to the side, and I gave them all of my life. I gave them 29 years of my life, and they disappeared. They don't want to have anything to do with me. And that's just like God. I think he feels the same way. But he's still hoping. He's still hopeful.
Yes.
That they'll turn from their evil ways.
You know, Brother Thomas, one of the reasons why I held back speaking on this topic is because, you know, I had to separate myself from my own parental unit because it was made evidently clear that I became a sacrifice for them, which was very difficult to accept. And I think many of you are probably wondering, well, how so? How did you find out? You know, actually, one of my parents actually spoke words to me, letting me know that what I have been up against, quote unquote, in is much bigger than I could imagine. It involves the FBI, CIA, and Masonic groups. At the time, I just thought they were having an anxiety attack, even though it was evident.
An anxiety attack. Yeah, okay. I'm going to turn to a Freemason for my anxiety. There we go.
Who wants to believe that a parent would sacrifice a child for anything,
amen.
For wealth, for power, for anything of that sort? So
when that child is their special gift, why would they do that for?
I just couldn't. It didn't process. I'll say that it didn't process well in my mind, and I just dismissed it as something that they must have been having an anxiety attack of some sort. There's no possible
out of body experience. How about that one? Yes. You like that? Out of body experience.
Yes.
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 Well, I'll tell you what it is, Jewel. You know, you have such love and compassion in you that you couldn't see us ever doing something like that. But when you have people that are so lost and they are so tortured spirits, basically, and so they feel like they have to reach out to the devil to get their life's experience. And so they get dabbling in all this kind of cults and all this kind of things. And
that's the
they
thing.
Think this is the way, you know, this is the life, you know, they're promised all of these riches and all this kind of stuff. And then when it's all said and done, that's false promises. You know,
it's not real. It's an empty.
It's an empty shell of a life. They have no idea what they've given up.
And I think they realize the
loss that they're gonna feel. I hope they
can
deal with
it. I do think there was a point where at least one of them realized that maybe they shouldn't have done this, but you know, because they stated to me. No, this was my mother. She stated to me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, in her distant mind somewhere. I would agree with you.
She stated to me, you know, I've done some really bad things, and you know, I sense she was, you know, emotionally in a space of regret, but, you know, at the time, my mind
wasn't it, Jewel? It was short-lived.
Yeah, it was short-lived. And me being the loyal person that I was, I immediately came to her defense and I said, listen, hey, we're all not perfect, but God forgives us. I'm clueless as to the fact that I have been basically sold out to be tested on, tortured.
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy, because it would never dawn on me as a possibility.
No,
because
you would never do that. I think that's the whole thing. No. That's the life lesson. No. It's something you would never think about doing. But others, they won't give it a second thought. They say, sure, I'll do it.
And
that's the thing.
That's the thing. You know, how many times we watch stories on the news and we'll see someone say, oh, this child just disappeared, wandered out of my house. You have no clue if that child was sold out.
You don't know.
This is the reality of what's been happening behind the scenes, behind the veil, is this corrupt systemic parental units selling out their children to the
occult and
government agencies.
Yes.
And it's not being spoken out. It's not being addressed. And, you know, many people are not surviving, unfortunately.
No.
And
well, Jill,
when I think back.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brother Thomas.
No. I'm sorry to interrupt. I want you to finish what you're going to say.
I was going to say, when I think back to even my particular situation where I shared with you guys that my car was tampered with, and I reported it prior to getting into that horrific accident that, hey, you know, my car is being vandalized, and, you know, the police reports were getting deleted. And I remember being in a space like, what the hell is happening here? Excuse my French, you guys know I don't really use foul language, but I felt, that's how I felt.
It's the
knee,
honey,
like,
it's the knee. Sometimes you got to, that's all there is to it. Jesus,
why is there complete lawlessness here? And why do I sense a collaboration of the sort? And as you kind of just analyze people's behavior, people's responses to you. I remember at one point, one of my parents said to me, about one of my children who, got a little sassy with them. And they said, you better teach that child to talk to me with respect, because when you're dead and gone, I'm all they have. And I immediately thought to myself, well, that's presumptuous. Why would you assume I would be dead and gone before you, you know? And it was comments like these during that particular time.
They let it slip, didn't they? They let their plan slip right out of their lips, didn't they?
And that's the thing. You have to become more astute and pay closer attention to the words that are being said and analyze people's behaviors and actions and inquiries and realize
things are not what they seem.
And, you know, really start using your discernment when God says, you need to separate yourself in very quickly. You know, I realized, Brother Thomas, after that accident, and I didn't share this with you guys, when I did the podcast on how God saved me, but directly after that accident, I remember as I was pulled over to the side waiting for help, a van immediately pulled up in front of me. And I got a little nervous because I was like, why is this? It was like a Mercedes, one of those 4Runner vans where you can really just quickly pull someone in the back and take off. And I was like, oh, let me try to lock my doors if my locks are still working after this accident. And I was waiting there for help, and I remember the person wouldn't come out of the van, and they weren't in an accident. They just pulled up right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I called AAA, and I decided to take pictures instinctively. I said, well, let me take pictures and send it to a friend so that they would at least have a license plate number. And I encourage you guys to do the same anytime you feel a little uncomfortable that your intuition telling you something isn't right. And, you know, after waiting there several hours for AAA, one of them finally came out of the vehicle. And they came out and they just stared inside of my vehicle and was smoking a cigarette. And I remember thinking to myself at that time that earlier that morning I received a text message from a family member that was trying to provoke me and said, I have now found your location and put my address, which I was trying to keep kind of low-key as I was trying to figure out the participants in all of this because I was being attacked from all angles. And I was reflecting, okay, so this person tells me the same day that my car falls apart that they found where I live, and this guy is just kind of staring at me to identify how wounded am I. in this vehicle. And I started to flash my lights, and that's when he went back into his van.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sharing this with you guys to say that at that time, you know, it could have very well been the last time that I've seen my children. If I was pulled out of my car, if I was very much injured and unconscious. These are things we don't really take time to think about what's happening, why I work so hard in spreading the word about what's happening behind the scenes with trafficking, with
Well, I remember you didn't even really want to tell your children about it, Jewel, remember? You were hesitant.
No.
Because you didn't want them to know that someone in their family could be so evil.
Evil.
You know?
And I just was like, oh my God. That's when it fully hit me, like, this is really not a game. My life
no.
is really at stake here.
Life is but a dream. Ha ha! Yeah, life is but a dream. It's not a dream we want to live. It's a nightmare.
Critical.
And it was a nightmare for you.
It was.
It definitely was a nightmare for you.
You remember when I called you and I told you I was in so much pain after that accident. And,
yeah.
You know, my leg was injured, which, you know, it's still, I still suffer injuries in my right leg from it. And just to think, Brother Thomas, that this was all spearheaded by those who claim to love me the most is the most shocking.
Well, especially if it's your own mother. I mean, come on now. I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow.
It was very
that's a hard pill to swallow.
It was extremely hard because I was always one of those children that immediately would come to her defense if I felt like she
Well, you did.
Was,
I mean, you saved her from the brink. And for her to be able to totally disavow that sacrifice that you did and still want to sacrifice you, it's just mind-blowing. I fully understand. Fully.
Well, that and it goes to show when I was talking in previous podcasts about family secrets and, you know, similar to today's reading, which we're going to get to, trust me, we will.
we're getting there roundabout. We're giving, you know, lead up to it, to the finale. Mm-hmm.
When you think about it's going to be on the prodigal son, by the way, but when you think about the prodigal son and the favor.
Or daughter, either one.
Or in my case, the daughter. The favor that God had for the younger child depicted in this story. I think of myself as one of my parents, my real parents' youngest, that wanted to look out for me in their passing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, it really, really hits home because, you know, the extent that people would go to try to keep a secret of who a parent is, even to the point where they're willing to sacrifice a child is daunting to me. And additionally, to deny someone's last wishes, especially when they have wishes to protect their youngest child in their departure because they know how cruel the world is.
Yeah.
It disgusts me that that request was not honored.
Well, it disgusts me to the point that I was estranged from my father for 17 years.
You know, Brother Thomas, we've come to a time where people are choosing, outright choosing money land.
Mm-hmm.
Even
keep on going.
They even try to get a spiritual inheritance that's not destined for them over loving their family.
Yeah.
It's just bewildering. But this is where we are in today's society. And people are joining these various occult groups and sharing with other family members, hey, if we just give up one, we can live this kind of lavish lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I know that for many people, you can't imagine your family ever collaborating in that facet to get rid of you. That would be, that seems like it's the ultimate betrayal.
Yeah.
Well, that's
been there,
that's
done
really
that, and paid the bill. Yep.
That's where we are today. I know many of us look at Hollywood and think that we're so far removed from this happening to us. At least I did. You know, we would hear the rumors of these stars sacrificing their parents, sacrificing their children for stardom, that you would never think locally my parent would ever sacrifice me. That seems ludicrous. It seems unbelievable. But as we are here in the end of days, it's closer to your door than you think.
Boy, that's the truth. You just spoke a whole bunch of truth right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if no one tells you, remember you heard it here first, that this is not something just happening in Hollywood.
No. It's in every lifestyle. Everybody.
Every lifestyle. Brother Thomas and I are always constantly letting you know that this whole Freemason thing has reached in different areas of our government. This these satanic occult practices have reached into our religious organizations, into our physicians' offices.
Oh, you know, I tell you, Jill, I'm just amazed that I was watching a podcast, I mean, a video today, and it was talking about a pastor, and that this man had come to him and said, "Sir, are you aware what's going on?" And the people of the church said, "He's busy right now. He can't be bothered." And so he's saying, "I sure hope that he reaches out to me so I can tell him some things." Because I said, the evilness that's in this world ain't going away. And that if he's not, doesn't have his eyes open to it, he needs to, because he's supposed to be the one that's supposed to be the leader. And so he says, I can't believe that these pastors have been so coerced into this deception. It's horrible. Horrible.
That's the thing. They're part of these organizations. So you're going to these churches thinking that these pastors are the segue to our Father. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, they're downstairs.
They're the segue to the devil.
Basement, once you leave, practicing occult things.
Yeah.
And you're clueless. You're funding it, which means spiritually, you're supporting it.
Yeah,
right? This
but
is
you
what
didn't know.
You're contributing financially to this spiritual practice.
And I'll tell you something, Jill. There have been many people who've walked away from the church for that one simple reason, because they don't feel God is in that church anymore.
Yes, and we have to use our discernment really and truly when we walk into these churches. I know I walked in and walked right out of several, and I mean, immediately I can just tell
you felt God wasn't there. There was a different God there, right?
It was a different God. This is not the God of Abraham that's in here. I have to go.
Amen.
I have to go. And let me tell you guys something. Part of the reason this, and I don't want to leave out my, I'll call him a supposed father from this, because he too was very much active in trying to gaslight and set me up in ways that was very painful for me. you know, when you have to totally disengage and realize these are not parents. They're mm-hmm. not self-sacrificing. They're sacrificing you for their mm-hmm. own gain.
They're self-centered. They're only thinking about themselves.
These are acts of self-centered.
Yes.
You know, as Brother Thomas said. And, you know, I think it was so hard for me to accept because as we grow up, we have these images of our parents that we create in our mind.
You know what? We really put them on pedestals, Jewel.
We put them
we
on
really
pedestals. We don't even
we honor
back,
them.
Right?
We
think it's disrespectful to even so much suggest that they're doing the wrong thing.
And think you've done something wrong to cause it. That's the worst thing. You think in your own mind you've done something to cause it.
Yes.
And you've done nothing.
And you just imagine, you know, me as a parent now, you know, I look at my children and I look at how much they respect me. Respect my decisions and believe that I want the best for them. And the mere notion, Brother Thomas, of me taking that trust and totally just
throwing it away,
betraying them in the worst way is just blows my mind. It really, I mean, that level, when you get to that level, I mean, people betray you in relationships, of course. You know, I've been in relationships.
Been there, done that. Love lost, love
you know,
gained. Mm-hmm.
You know, they drank the Kool-Aid and took whatever offering they could take to be part of the betrayal. I get it, but the hurt from an actual parent is so deep rooted that it really takes time to fully assess, number one, what just happened here? Am I really seeing what I'm seeing? And then two, to heal from that betrayal. Because it just keeps playing in your mind about how vulnerable you were to this person. This is the first person you've gone to when even your gift started to display itself and you tell them, hey, I just had this dream that, you know, I just seen a whole occult holding children downstairs in a warehouse. And you're like totally unaware that they have been in agreement with this occult.
Yeah.
I mean, you look back and you're like, oh my goodness.
How come you didn't see it before?
I didn't see it. And God, you had to have carried me because if it was up to them, I would have been gone.
Yeah, you would have been gone. In the corner.
Whether it's physically gone or mentally gone, because these people do so much spiritual work in driving people crazy. I've seen it happen live. You understand, Thomas? It's by the grace of God.
Oh, I fully understand it. And it is the most painful experience. When you have a parent or a child, either way, I've had it both. First of all, when you had a parent that you never lived up to their expectations, and that you never felt love from them all your life, and then when this parent did the ultimate, you know, betrayal of betraying me to my grandfather at his dying days, you know, and still I was there. I saw my father hurting, and I reached out, and I tried to comfort him. He pushed me back. He did not want to be comforted, not by me. And in front of all of the people that were there for, you know, the burial at the burial site, and they all saw it. And I was so hurt by it, that Jewel, it took me 17 years. And the reason why it took that long is because, the only reason is because when my two children came along, my now ex-wife said to me, it's not for you, it's for them. You need to go to your father, and you need to say, you know, nothing. You don't need to ask for forgiveness. You don't need for him to tell you that he should forgive himself for the way he treated you. You just need to move on with life and realize that they are now, your children are going to benefit from having a relationship with a grandfather. But, Jewel, that was very hard. And then it was even harder when I realized what he did at his own death. That hurt the most. Because he put the knife in me one more time. And with his own death, he did it by his instructions, because he wanted people to see all the important things that were in his life. And here I was in a captured audience in a hearse. And the last place that he visited or drove by was the very farm that my grandfather had said I would inherit. And he had sold every acre. Every acre.
You know, Thomas, when a parent steals something that was set aside for a child, it is so painful. And I hear the pain in your voice. I can relate to the pain, but I want you to know, Brother Thomas, that even though we may not have gotten what our parents or grandparents wanted us to have, because in their wisdom, they looked at us as their babies.
Yeah.
Whether we're actually their babies or they raised us for a good portion of their life.
Well, I felt so close to my grandfather. I felt closer to my grandfather than I did my father, because I felt love from my grandfather I never felt from my father, ever.
Yes, I can definitely relate to that feeling, especially with my grandmother.
Yeah, you love your grandmother.
My mother. And.
Yeah. Well, for 7 years, she was your mother, Jewel. My goodness. You know, the formative years, she was the one.
She was. I don't think that I would be who I am today if she wasn't there during my formative years. Because I've watched her be so self-sacrificial that I thought to myself, I don't think I can ever live up to that standard.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out, where do you find the time of the day for all of this cooking and washing by hand and it's just
pure
a labor
love.
Of endless, pure love and never complaining, never saying it's too much, never saying I need another washing machine or a personal assistant. I mean, I watched her literally iron my underwear.
Wow. Now that's extreme.
The level of love that this woman had for me.
Which you didn't experience
with
your own mother. Never experienced with your own mother.
You know, even condemning her or even talking bad about her at this juncture is still challenging.
You still feel guilty, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, because.
You did. That's your mom.
It hurts. It really hurts that whatever it was that she was going to gain from this financially, whatever they collaborated about and said, you know, if we just get a few documents notarized and change the signature and get rid of her, we can all live lavishly. It hurts. It really hurts because this is someone that...
Well, it also hurts thinking of where your children would be if you weren't around, Jewel.
That hurts even more. I think about that every so often. Like, I wasn't a factor to these people as a mother. Never mind as a daughter, as a niece, as a cousin, as a sister. I was not a factor in their minds of the value I bring to my children as a mother. That, to me, is so frustrating that it's hard to even communicate with them on a civilized level.
Well, you know, for one thing, Jill, if something had happened to you, your children would have just been a reflection of you. You know that they would have turned on them.
I hope so.
They would
have. I pray that
because if they saw the inkling of any inkling of resemblance of you in them, and that's where we're supposed to be. You know, our children are supposed to be a reflection of us. And So if they even saw that reflection, what would they do to them?
I don't know.
What would they do to them?
You know, Brother Thomas, I think there was a point where I felt like I'm all they have.
Yeah.
I'm literally all they have. Because if all they can see are dollar signs on people, then my children wouldn't stand a chance.
Well, especially Izzy,
and,
you know, little Izzy, I mean.
Oh, my little baby, my little angel, gift from God.
Yeah,
so
and they
and
don't
so
see him that way. They see him as a sacrificial lamb. Mm.
Yeah, they would have
literally
gone for him. You know, I've had to deal with their spiritual attacks, even on my children. You know, some of it
poisoning.
I don't know if the food poisoning. I look back and I don't even know how we've made it this far but it had to be by the grace of God.
Amen.
And,
only way is God. And God stopped them at every corner. Every time they were going to strike out at you, God was there.
You know, I...
He saved you in that car wreck. He saved you.
Oh, most definitely. Thomas, when I think back to that car wreck, scientifically, it's not possible for
that car... Especially when the steering system was so messed with.
Yes, it was just impossible. And, you know, God has shown out. And
you told me, I remember, Jewel, and I don't know if these people know this, but you told me that you felt like the car was picked up and put over there to the side.
Yes, I literally felt like it was picked up and carried over to a safe
but you had no steering
area before it went out. And before the car completely gave up, but got me to that safe area, just that was the last push it had, and then that was it. And I said, this was a miracle by God. And I told myself, Brother Thomas, that was the final straw where I said, you know what, even though I don't think that I have all of the qualifications that my grandmother had as a first lady, a woman of the church.
We never know what qualifications we have, Jewel, until we have to step up to the plate.
I know, but it was that day that I promised that I would walk in the shoes that were destined for me and take my position.
Amen.
Because
and this is why
you know
you're
what?
Where you are today. It's where you are today. This is why. This is why your children are with you.
Yes, I'm very, very grateful, and it's still a challenge for all
every
of us.
Day.
But the fact that we have each other and, you know, we're climbing.
You
through
have to rely
things.
On each other. You have no one else to rely on but y'all, you yourselves. That's all you have.
That's right. And God, which
well,
is enough.
Well, I would say
God
not.
Is on your side,
it's all we have physically,
yes.
But mentally and spiritually, you've got God.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I feel if we need to start a new church of believers, that would not be willing to sacrifice family and have anyone go through what I've gone through, right? Because I've gone through it. I've lived to tell the story and share with you guys all of the tactics of the enemy that was used throughout my trial. I'm hoping that it can save someone else's life. I'm hoping that
I think these words bound to, Jewel, because they're so real. You know, it's not something that it's like, it's not some fairy tale story. It's not something that you really want to sit down and
very
say,
real.
Let me explain to you how rosy and lovely and everything was loved, everything I was loved and cared for. And there are some people that are very fortunate and they do have loving parents and they are loving children. But in this world we're in right now,
things are swiftly changing. and people are quickly conspiring and choosing who's next, who can they put up on the chopping block to gain that next level of 33 degrees.
This is
not something that I'm telling you guys lightly. This is something that I've lived and survived.
Yeah.
And God has called me to not only share my story, but to help save someone's life, someone who's experiencing the noise campaigns. These are all the various levels that are leading up to them sacrificing you. You understand? And that's why I speak so boldly, because I know that people's lives are on the line.
Amen. Literally. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Spiritually,
and if,
mentally, physically, yes. On the line.
I know the constant energy weapon usage. I know that the fear tactics that they will try to put you through spiritually to get you to a point of hoping that you would self-sabotage and sacrifice yourself. Then half the job is already done for them, and they don't have to be accountable for all the crimes that they've done.
I look at myself, Jewel, and I think the selfishness of my father, you know, that
I know
he could feel that much hate for me.
Yeah.
I can't fathom it. I was his only
son. I totally can relate. I feel the same way about my mother. I am her only child. How can you consider doing something like that? And then
I came into this world
to the next
hated
level.
Me. He never loved me like a father should. My grandfather
gave
me the love.
You know what, Brother Thomas? A lot of times there's family secrets that we don't know about. We're not privy to.
Oh, I know.
And it's not fair that we have to take on the grunt of their sins, of whatever they're trying to hide. It's not fair to us. We come into this world innocent. We come into this world loving and kind. And we don't know what they're hiding before we arrive. We just come here as innocent children, right?
Yeah.
And to take out that frustration on a child that you've done something you're ashamed of, or, you know, you partook in some group that, you know, practices these occult things. This is not fair to this innocent child just coming to the world. You didn't give this child an option as to whether or not they wanted to be a part of this, wanted to be sacrificed for your sins.
Well, I look at it this way. I don't know if my father was influenced by any outside sources or not. I think it was internal. I really think that he thought that basically it was a triangle, I guess. You know, he wanted to have the love of his father. He wanted to be able to do the things that he wanted to do. But, you know, when he came into this world, he was the last of six children. His father had had three major heart attacks before he was 30 years old. And so he couldn't be a child. He couldn't be a teenager. He couldn't be all these things. And so there was resentment. And so then I came along, which his father saw quickly that his son didn't love me. And so he made up for it. And I really think my grandfather was trying to show that he loved me because he loved his son. You know what I'm saying? That he would come pick me up every Saturday, and he would take me out to the farm. He taught me how to shoot the gun. He taught me how to fish. He taught me about the importance of the land. All these things that my father should have done with me, but didn't. And to realize it's on a weekend now, my father worked a 9-to-5 job. So what did my father do that pulled him away from being with me? You know? That's what I'm wondering. And so my grandfather did the sacrifice. I mean, he came over and picked me up. And I'm telling you, if I had not had him in my life, I can say this, I wouldn't be the person that I am to be. Because my grandfather loved me unconditionally.
Yes.
I didn't have to be any kind of special son. I didn't have to always try to prove myself. Not with my grandfather. He loved me with nothing. And that made my father angry. I can see it made him very angry. That he was saying, why are you spending this time with my son when you should have spent it with me? So the resentment and the anger just built year after year after year, Jewel. I had no idea.
I could imagine. That's to the point where this parent feels almost like they're competing with you.
Yeah, it's what it was. There was jealousy. I did not create the jealousy. It was in his own mind. And to the point that he was so jealous that he let his own father ask for me for 2 solid weeks when he was on his deathbed, and he denied me having that last breath spoken. I will never forgive my father for that. Never. But I did at that moment. I took it upon myself to say, my dad is hurting. I'll reach out to him. And he pushed me away.
Okay.
People, you don't know the internal strife and hurt and feelings of inadequacy. Never meeting the challenge, never meeting the standards of a father. You have never know how that can transform you, can mold you. But realize this, Jewel, I am nowhere near my father. Never. Even though my father treated me like shit, I didn't let that be reflective on me.
That's the thing, Brother Thomas.
That be reflective on my children. And I could have, easily.
You have to break that cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, those of you that have been fortunate to have loving parents, be thankful.
Be grateful. Be grateful.
And I'm telling you, if they're elderly parents that you're dealing with and you're thinking, oh, they're such a nuisance, don't you dare think that. They are precious, just like your own children. Please see them as treasures in your life.
Yeah.
Because don't put them in nursing homes. Please, God, don't put them in nursing homes. They're forgotten about. They're not loved in a nursing home. They're medicated. You know what I'm saying? They dope them up. They don't want to see them. They don't want them. They want them to get out as quickly as they can. And don't do that. If you have the opportunity to bring that parent into your home, do so. And let me say why. The wisdom that your children will get from the stories that they tell, there's no price for it. There's no price on this earth that is more important for that elderly parent to say the words of life that he's lived. Invaluable. And you will feel a wonderment that, you know, you had no idea that your parents had these feelings and had these experiences because, you know, when you came up, probably they didn't want to tell you what they lived through. They just wanted to show you the good times of life and that they wanted to give you more than what they ever had. And that's to our fault that we did that. That the baby boomers, basically, you know, their parents sacrificed so much for those baby boomers that they were the ones that were going to get all the best things in life could give them. And then so many of those baby boomers, Jewel, turned out to be very selfish individuals.
They did. That is one selfish generation that I keep constantly hearing about through different people's stories. And it's like, what happened? What happened at that time that they've become so gluttonous and greedy?
Because they've been given the world, Jewel. They thought the world, that, and here's the thing. They were given the world, so they expected the world to give them back.
Oh, my God.
And they're selfish. They're selfish individuals. And I'm not saying all, but there are quite a few of them that came up very selfish, very,
yes,
very self-centered, and just like we are today.
Mm-hmm.
All you can see out there right now in this world, there is hardly any love.
No,
any love anymore.
No.
There's no compassion. There's no empathy.
No.
None.
I think it was very shocking for me to see that as well. How many just collaborate and not have an ounce of empathy for me or even young children.
Or even step in and say, hey, wait a minute, let me defend her. You know?
Not an ounce. All they could think about were their latest cars that they can get from this deal, new houses, lavish trips. I mean, they were totally just sold out. Oh, my gosh, truly disgusting. But I just want to say this last thing, Brother Thomas, before you go into this reading. I just want to say, I know you guys have been like, when is this reading going to happen? I just want to share with you guys, after listening to my situation and Brother Thomas's story, and if you feel that you too are experiencing a parent or a child that have chosen to sell their soul, you're going to have to make a conscious decision to turn to God, let them go, and not look back. And I say this because whether they have joined these occult groups and they perform these rituals and they have stolen from
you,
you're not going to be able to stay. They have their souls have already been sold. They have almost like an entity is guiding them to continue to do these evil things without any conscience at this point. And they will be willing to sacrifice, torture, kill people or animals for their greed and gain in this world. We must realize that they are no longer the people we once knew.
No.
The ones we thought we held dear. They now have, they're cold, they're detached, they have spiritual attachments to them, and they are bound by their father, who they decided to serve, you know?
Yeah.
You will have to cut.
And I chose the wrong one, I'll tell you that, Jewel. I'm telling you, the devil, he don't love nobody but himself.
Yeah. And he's full of trickery.
And when these people wake up and smell the coffee, they're going to be totally shocked when they say, you know, I thought he was going to be the one. Right. Yeah, he's the one, all right. He's your savior. No, he ain't. He's only out for number one. Numero uno. That's all the devil is.
We will have to cut through the illusion.
Yeah.
The illusion of them being loving and kind. And truly face the reality that is, they wouldn't bring this darkness to you or around you or your children for you to have to fight and transmute that energy in any way.
Amen.
That is straining to you. That is not serving you any good. It is dimming your own frequency. We have to release them to whom they decided to enter these contracts with, whether it be an occult or Satan himself.
That's
because it is not your obligation to free them. That is something I've had to learn because I was carrying this burden for so long, Thomas. And it's like, you know, I need to help them. I need to free them from this contract that they've gotten into. And it's not my obligation.
You want to wake them up, Jill. You want to take them by the shoulders and shake the hell out of them till they wake the fuck up. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm just saying, you know, can't they see what they're doing?
Yeah.
That's what you've just.
Yeah.
Mm.
But
it
we
makes
have
you want
to
scream.
Brother Thomas, we were sent here to love and guide them.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, they have their own free will to decide.
Yeah,
they
do. That's what God feels about His children. It's the same way.
Yes.
It's paralleled.
people, if y'all don't realize this, God feels the same way as what we're saying right now. Because we are His children.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. And God put us on this earth, and He set us on this earth, and He says, okay, go forth and learn. Whether it be bad or whether it be good. But remember this. You go down that road, you go down it alone. But when you go down that road, if for once you feel like, I don't feel comfortable with this, turn back to God. He's right there. The devil, care less. And so God feels like, when is enough enough? When are my children going to see that I didn't want to be a dictator? I gave them free will, and they could choose. And why they choose the evilness of this world is beyond me.
It's beyond
me. But I'm telling you, God is to the point. Enough is enough.
Just as they sacrifice God's son, it's just how they are willing to sacrifice their own children.
Amen.
Again, in modern times.
It's a continuous, you know what, Jill? It's a continuous sacrifice, is it not?
Yes.
We thought that Christ sacrificed his life and that was it. No. That was the beginning. When God saw the world and he says, well, let me get in touch with the world. Because, you know, he sat up there in heaven and, you know, he listened to the reports and he could see what was going on. But he still felt like he needed that, you know, like they have in the army where they have to be in bed with the army. They have to know what's going on, like the journalists or whatever. And they basically learn everything that's going on. Well, that's what I feel that God did with Yeshua. That he basically sent him down here and he says, okay, sir, this is your task. This is what I want you to do. I want you to learn about the world. I want you to see what they're experiencing. I will not get involved with this. I want your perspective. And so that's what he did. And then he quickly realized that in the end, that they were going to sacrifice his son. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they still didn't turn from their evilness.
Yeah.
Even after the sacrifice.
Sounds familiar.
They didn't turn.
Not only did they not turn, but they would create, in my case, even further false narratives, which kind of sticks the nail in the wood frame, right? Where it's like, how much more damage can you do?
Don't ask how much. Yeah, I've learned not to do that.
When will you finally repent and say, I did my child wrong?
Right.
You know?
Well, how about we did our father wrong, Jewel? Let's put it that way. We did our father
and
wrong.
The same
because
way.
I'm telling
and
you.
And the same way
with God. I mean, when God, you know, I mean, he knows where they're going to be the prodigal son and daughter. I hope we are. You know, that's his hope. Because he says, I've done everything I can. I've given you everything I can. I've given you life experiences. I've let you do these things. Now come back to me. And they're not. They're not. And I'm sure it's disheartening to him because he loves all of us. He loves all his children.
Of course. Watching this is just, it's disgusting. It's really disgusting, and that's why our Father is using some of us not just to reveal what's being hidden, but also to help save some of these women and children's lives that are being trafficked and kidnapped and sold out in similar ways, but they just did not have help. They did not listen to their discernment of knowing when to leave, and that was it. That was the last we've heard from them. You know, I have to encourage you guys, please, we must accept who they are, who they have sold out to, for our own vitality.
Yeah.
If not.
But you got to break away from them.
You have to. because all they're going to do is potentially set you up.
Going to draw you in.
Your identification or your clothing items or you name it. All they're going to do is continuously try to set you up to get robbed, kidnapped, raped, God forbid, stalked, arrested. I mean, it's a never-ending story once you are put on their occult list to be targeted.
Well, you know what, Jill? Okay? I would love to know, what's the end game for my children? What are they hoping? Are they hoping that I suffer? Are they hoping that I die here in this hotel room by myself? What is their end game?
You know,
I don't understand it at all.
I've worked in financial anti-money laundering for over 2 decades. And one of the things that we've always referenced when we investigate cases is to follow the money. And a lot of times when you can't figure out the motive as to why would a group of individuals collaborate for you to be tortured, a lot of times, it's sad to say, money's at the root. And so the question is, where is the money? Is it an inheritance you don't know about? Is it life insurance that was placed on, that many people invested in?
If it is, in my case, Jewel, if it is life insurance, they're living a false net, a negative there, because guess what I found out? People who suffer from the COVID vaccine injuries and they succumb to them, do you know the insurance won't pay one penny? Because they felt like, the insurance company felt like we had a choice.
That's interesting.
We decided to take on this vaccine. And so we made that sacrifice, and that they don't have to pay nothing. No monies.
If insurance was the goal, then that's the real interesting laugh for them to find this out over the podcast.
Uh-huh. That's what I found. Well, I know. When I found out, I said, holy crap, you mean to tell me that even if I had a life insurance policy, that when it came the time to pay out, and they found out, oh, excuse me, he had what? He suffered from what? Oh, we don't have to pay him nothing.
Brother Thomas.
And they won't.
Many of these individuals that are part of these occults have been and continue to commit insurance fraud continuously.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
There's groups of people, all of a sudden, one week they'll all sign up for life insurance for one individual because they have collaborated and know that they have invested in someone's death, either using spiritual tactics where they're attacking them spiritually or paying actual hitmen and kidnappers to throw them in vans and have them disappear. And you see the crocodile tears and then the huge payout. This is what is going on.
It's all money. Avarice is the root of all evil. I mean, it is. I can see it. And for those who have money, Lord help you. But for those of you who don't, I look forward to heaven.
Once our eyes are opened, we cannot close them again. And I compel you all to start asking the right questions. Start asking people, how is it that you know this person's whereabouts if they're not in communication with you? That's a sign of stalking. We must ask the right questions because they will reveal themselves. This whole trickster, this whole low-key trickster spirit, do you remember that podcast, Brother
Yes,
Thomas?
I remember low-key. Yeah,
Will ultimately reveal himself or herself.
Yep.
Because these people think that life is a game.
Well, they're frustrated, Jewel, that you haven't given up the ghost, honey. I mean, come on. I mean, how much more how much poor pain and agony do they have to throw your way before you say, you give up the ghost and say, she's done.
I know, she's been doing this for a long time, but my faith in God is so strong. My purpose.
See, that's what they don't. See, this is what they don't understand. I realize this now, Jewel. This is what they don't understand. They don't understand that you do have a loving God in your life.
Yes.
You do.
Yes, I do.
And that spirit, that inner feeling of love that you get from God gets you through all this.
Over
the pain and the hurt and the anguish, you know, and they saying, why don't you give it up? Is enough not enough?
Yes.
Because the devil's still insisting on them saying, you're not hard enough. You're not doing it hard. You're not doing it like you should. Come on, twist the knife in further. Go ahead.
Yep.
They will break. There is a breaking point. No, there's not. Not if they are living in God's life.
You're going to end up breaking yourself. All of that spiritual war stuff that you're trying to spew out to other people to get this financial gain, it's going to come back on you, and you're going to drive yourself crazy. That's what happens.
That's what happens, you see. And the devil don't give a... He don't care.
He doesn't care.
You realize this? He don't care. He don't care about mankind.
Nope. All
they're
well
a tool. He uses them. He uses them.
Yep.
And they don't see it.
They don't see it. They're so driven by this greed that they can't see past
the money. The money that they're promised, Jewel, the worldly things they're promised, the notoriety, all this stuff that they think is going to be the thing that's going to get them to the top. They're going to always get exactly what they've ever felt they deserved. Fools living in a fool's paradise.
How empty of a vessel can you have when all you've taken pride in is luxury items that are meaningless?
Yeah.
Meaningless. You can't take any of this with you.
Jewel, if you think about the father, okay, who makes the choice of having an affair outside the home, what's he doing? What's he doing? Okay, so he has a few romps in the hay. Okay, and he might think, that's satisfaction. But what's he sacrificing, really? His family.
His family. His family.
And in the end, if he loses that family because of it, that family says, you know what, Dad, you did this to Mom, I'll never have anything to do with you again.
Yep.
So what did he do? He pissed it all away.
Yep.
And for what? And then at the end, you think that sweet thing is going to stay with him? Hell no. Mm-mm.
A few minutes of pleasure destroying an entire
years of investment
that you have invoked into your children's minds of thinking that a few moments of pleasure should come before them.
Amen. They feel wasted. They feel useless. They feel like, and a lot of them feel like it was their fault.
Where's the selfishness?
Why? I don't know, but they do feel that way. Huh?
Where's the selflessness in parenting? Whether or not you had a child with someone you did not intend to have a child with, the fact is that child should not bear the grunt.
Bear the burden.
The burden of your irresponsible behaviors.
Amen.
It's not fair to that child. Where's the selflessness?
Amen. I can see that. Definitely. Like, you know, my father had the choice. He could have said, you know what? I realized something today that my dad's in the grave and that he's gone. And I'm hurting, and my son is there right across from me, and he wants to comfort me. And I need to realize that man who's right across from you, your son, is doing what you never expected.
Because you thought that if you could be so cruel, that he would never, it would give him reason to just turn away from you, and he's not. And if my father had opened his arms, Jewel,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have lost 17 years away from him. 17 years. Till he had dementia. And he was losing his mind. But it's the choices that we make, Jewel.
Yes.
Parents making bad choices, children making bad choices. It's all about choice.
It is. And the minute that you put your selfish greed before a human being in your family, you have failed. You have failed.
Well, it's the same way. It's the same way. I'm going to segue that with God. He's saying the same thing. He's saying, you know, when's enough enough? When do I have to finally say, child, you did me wrong. You continue to do me wrong. I can't continue this. I can't continue to throw out the lifeboat, throw out the life raft, and think that you're going to, you know, I can pull you in because you don't want in. And he's facing that, Jewel, right now. In this world, he is facing that ultimate decision. I feel for God. I really do. I know how he feels. I feel the same about my children. Why are they allowing me to suffer? I could die tomorrow and they never would know it.
You know, Brother Thomas.
They've not even darkened my door. They've not called me. They've not texted me.
You
Why?
Know, I know we've referenced the story of Lot before in one of our podcasts. I don't know if we've read the whole story, but you know, there's a part in the story that you just reminded me of when you said that. And it was the part where God, where they were negotiating of saving the city, and God said, if you could just bring me X amount, just one person. And I know that as I'm hearing you ask
save
that
the
question,
city. He would save the city. Just for one.
And as we both are contemplating as to how an entire group of family members could collaborate to be on board to something like this, you mean to tell me there wasn't just one? One could have stopped this mess.
Well, my sisters even, Jewel, my sisters, you think one of my sisters would?
Not one.
Would?
Not one. I thought that the story was so exaggerated. Like, how could there not be one? Well, look at your own family. There wasn't one. There wasn't one that had any kind of compassion, decency. They all took the red pill of greed and said, have them tortured, killed, placed in poverty, whatever you got to do so I can be rich. Do
Amen.
It.
Not That's the way
one,
I feel. Where I feel. When you're out there alone, but I'm not alone, people. I'm not alone. I don't want y'all to think I'm alone.
Yeah.
I have the ultimate father. Huh?
I said, with that said, let's get the scripture in because I know we're ready over time.
You know what I'm going to do when I read the scripture. I'm going to cry. You know that.
I know.
Because,
it's a very, very touching scripture.
Very much so. Because I realize, and probably they don't know, but, you know, I lived this not only for my own life, but, you know, I was on the opposite end of that, you know, where the other son, you know, said, well, why are you throwing out the fattened calf and everything for this person, you know, and welcoming them back? Because this is what my sister did, Sarah. She left home.
Mm-hmm.
And I encouraged her to come back home. I said, you know, if you'll come back home, Daddy will accept you back. She says, I can't. I've done so many things wrong. And she says, Farrah, I said, you need to realize that we love you and that all we want is for you to be back home. But then when she did come back home, Jill, I swear there was a thought, you know what, Dad? Why didn't you love me? She left. And you opened your arms back for her. And I stayed in this house. I lived by your rules. I did everything. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. But you know what, Jewel? I felt so good for my sister being back in our home and to let us be able to love her and for her to feel love from us that it didn't matter. That I could accept the fact that he didn't care if I lived under the rules. He didn't care. It was her. She was always his favorite. And that's why you look at it. And you go on. And I've never told you that, but I felt like that needed to be said, that, you know, prodigal sons, prodigal daughters, that can happen every day.
Yeah.
And you don't know if it's a family member that's a prodigal son or prodigal daughter, or if it's your own child, or if it's, you know, God dealing with his prodigal children.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there. It's all there. It's how you choose to deal with it, how you choose to live it. I could have let it eat me up inside. I could have. I chose not to. I chose to think of it was better. We were a family again. We were a unit again. A false narrative, yes, but it was there. And to the point that guess who was at my father's side when he left this life? That daughter. That daughter. Farrah. She was in the room when she saw his spirit leave. She told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
So she experienced his last life, his last breath. You know? So what comes around goes around. And I see what's happening now. I mean, that sister, she don't try to text me. The only time she reached out to me was this Christmas time. She sent me a Christmas card, which shocked the heck out of me. I didn't expect it. But even after that, there's not been any, you know, reaching out to me through email. Nothing. So I see that, you know, this world keeps on turning.
Yeah.
And things of the evilness of this world continue. Whether we would like to see that there would be a bright light at the end of the tunnel? No. The bright light, though, is God. And I'm looking forward to that one. I'm telling you.
Amen.
I want to be in heaven.
Can we get this scripture in? For our supporters.
Yes, ma'am. All righty then. We will do that. And so it starts with people, Luke 15, if you're following along in your Bibles, Luke 15, and it is going to be verses 11 through 32. And here we go. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between the two. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. And no one was giving him anything. And so, but then he thought to himself, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. My nose is running. And in your sight, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he thought this in his mind that that's what he was going to do. So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him. I told you I was going to cry. And ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. God, this is hard. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard noise and music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring as to what things might be going on. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf. He has received him back safe and sound. But the brother became angry and was not willing to go in and entreating him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you. I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a kid, meaning that fattened calf, that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him? And he said to him, the father said, my child, you have me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. It's the same way, Jewel, that our father feels about us. I mean, don't you think God would kill the fattened calf to welcome all of his children back into the realm? He would. And then those that are the chosen, or those that are the loyal ones, would be sitting back and going, amazement that this father, and I'm telling you, that God would be so loving that he would erase everything that had happened, and he would still welcome them into heaven. And that's the ultimate thing, you know, the 11th hour, Jewel, those that have turned against God, away from God, still can come back in the 11th
yes.
hour.
Yes,
they
I
can.
Agree.
And so those of us who've been the faithful, we need to welcome them with open arms. We need to say, welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
We've missed you, you know. We've cared for you from a distance. And God had to allow you to live your life and make the decisions that you've made. And now that you're wanting to come back to God, he's there for you. And we will be with you as well. But we had to separate ourselves from you. So, Jewel, as much as I hate to say it, that's what I'm feeling with my own children. I'm telling you, I've always said to them, I said, I think I said this in one of the other podcasts, I said, if only the day will come when they come to me and they say, Daddy, we were wrong.
I would say I love you and I care for you. And all I want to do is hug you. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to hug his children, Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to hug all of them. He wants to bring them back into the fold. He wants them to be like they never left. If they'll only turn
you.
From their wicked ways. If
bless
only.
You, Brother Thomas. You emulate the selflessness that we hope to see in all parents.
Amen. Amen. And children. I emulate children, too, because, you know, I forgave my father.
Yeah.
For depriving me of my chance to see my grandfather for the last time. And
you know, even with some of the most painful and terrible things some parents have done to children and vice versa, part of the healing process is forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgiveness, and I don't want to sugarcoat it and make you guys believe that it by forgiving the person, the relationship will go back to how it was, or
no.
It'll erase what they did.
No, it'll be a different relationship. It'll be a different it'll be a loving relationship, but it will be different. It will be different. I'll say this, Jill. You know, with my own father. So when we went home that last time, and he was in the hospital, and he had dementia, and there were a lot of things that he would come in and go out with his mind, and I was there basically paying my respects to him. He called me over to his bedside, and he said, "Give me your hand." And he said to me, "You know what? I always was proud of you." Here is an 87-year-old man on his deathbed, basically because he died 3 days later, telling me that he was always proud of me. And the thought came over me, Jill. I said, "My God, why all these years you never said that to me until the time when you're here in this bed, feeble and dying? Did you ever let that even come out of your lips?" So sad. Such a loss. But see, I didn't know. I didn't know that the last knife was fixing to be put into my back, but it was when I got to go past that farm and saw what Dad had done to it. I mean, you talk about the ultimate betrayal. Wow.
I can definitely relate. I also recall being one of the last people to see my paternal grandfather before he passed away. It was the same day I found out I was pregnant with my firstborn.
Wow.
And
beginning of life and ending of life. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I found that as well, and it was unfortunate that he could not speak. He was so ill at the time.
Had he been poisoned?
Who knows? You know, with everything that I've endured.
Money, did he not? Did he not have money?
That's my other grandfather. I'm talking about my paternal grandfather. I mean,
I'm sorry.
He, but needless to say, I read the Bible to him, and it seemed to bring him so much peace. He was a pastor, and I know that is what he needed at that time. That
reassurance. Wow, comfort.
I was glad to give that to him. at that time. And then shortly after I left, I got a phone call saying he passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you brought him, his last glory, Jewel.
I pray that, that he continues to watch over me and, my kiddos. And we demonstrate the true essence of family and honoring
Amen.
Our loved ones and ancestors to the fullest.
Amen.
But,
Amen.
Yeah, I definitely have that in common. Amen. And I just wanted to close out by in agreement that the prodigal son represents all sinners who squander and reject the blessings offered by God.
Amen. See, that's exactly it, really. In this world that we're in right now, Jewel, they are all
mm-hmm.
prodigal sons and daughters. And God would yeah. only hope that before he gives the ultimate judgment day,
mm-hmm.
that they will turn from their evilness. That's all he wants. But he
yeah.
knows that there are going to be those that are not going to. They're going to burn in the lake of fire. And he's saddened by that.
Everyone makes their decision and how vested they get in those decisions with the
yeah.
groups they decide to associate with and satanic contracts that they hold.
Yeah.
That is totally
yeah.
up to them to make. But I encourage those sheep that are still wandering and aren't quite sure if this spiritual journey is real or not, I want to encourage you to pick up that Bible, use it as a guide,
yeah.
and pay attention to what's happening around you, because this is very real. This
oh,
is very real.
Pray without ceasing, people, because I'm telling you, there are many people that need to hear prayers. They do.
And
because they feel lost in this world. And if they
yeah.
have one slight glimmer of hope, is somebody's praying for them.
Yes.
In the back of their mind, maybe they're not strong enough, you know, but somebody's praying for them, and maybe, just maybe, they could turn away from the evilness.
Mm-hmm.
If they realize
mm-hmm.
that there is someone that cares, even though they have treated them like, you know what,
mm-hmm.
that can pray for them. So that's what God wants us to do. That's the lesson here. Even though they have done the evil things that they've done, and that we can no longer be a part of their world, and we have to separate ourselves from them, we still
yes.
can pray for them.
Absolutely.
Pray that they will turn from their evilness and you'll welcome them back to the family of God. And that's it. That's it.
So, with that said, I just want to close out with one last really quick scripture that I thought was applicable to today's topic, which was Psalm 78:4, which says, "We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and
Amen.
His might and the wonders that he has done."
Amen.
So I want to leave you all with that message and know that I'm sharing my life story, my situation, to share with you the wonders that God has brought me through, even with all of the collaborations, all of these individuals using their titles and occults
yeah.
and groups and layers and layers of abuse of authority, that my God, my Lord, he has done wonders in my life.
Yeah.
And it has propelled me into my destiny of helping many like me.
That's why you're doing the podcast,
Jewel.
That's why you're doing
yes.
the podcast.
Yes.
Because we are reaching out to so many different types of people and their
mm-hmm.
livelihoods And I'm telling you, whether we get the personal, you know, testimonies or not, I think because I feel, you know, you know what I'm talking about by the numbers, that we always get that reassurance that what we've done, God has approved of. And I think this is no different in this case here. I think God has used our words, has used our stories to relate the prodigal son over and over and over again. And that there's somebody out there that's saying, you know, I'm that prodigal son, or I'm that prodigal daughter, or I'm that prodigal, you know, father, or I'm that prodigal mother,
yes.
You know, that I've left my children behind, or all these type of things. I mean, anybody can be anybody, and there's always family. You know, don't forget family. Don't forget God's family. Please don't forget God's family.
Yeah.
Don't forget God. In the end, I'm telling you, you want to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Make sure you do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Pick up that cross and follow. Do what you need to do.
With that said, I wanted to recognize Mr. Richard DiPilla on LinkedIn stated that our last podcast had a very powerful message, Brother Thomas, and I was very thankful to hear from someone who's so well-known on LinkedIn, really following and appreciating our message.
Well, the number of followers he has is in the millions, Jewel. I mean, my goodness, like, it's a whole different scale for us that we've got somebody that's saying, well done, you know, my good and faithful servants. Y'all are doing exactly what, you know, what I've been doing, but on a smaller scale, and he said, and he appreciated it. So that speaks volumes to me, as far as somebody that you're thinking, you know, we're not even in the same realm, we're not in the same category, you know, we're just little peons here, just doing what we can do, but he appreciated it. So even
You
feel like you're the lowest of the low, and you feel like you're not in, you're insignificant, you have significance.
Yeah.
So people out there who are listening, I'm telling you, if you have a story to tell, step up to the plate. We want to hear the story.
And feel encouraged on our podcast. I know with me, there are times where I feel like a little David almost going up against Goliath.
The big Goliath.
Yeah.
I hear that.
My little slingshot of righteousness and truth and transparency to raise awareness of what's happening to many victims. But even still, I do feel like I am breaking bits of that glass ceiling. And it may be little cracks, but something's obviously happening where people are moved and drawn
to somebody who would have to even spend the time and realize this, Jewel. He had to have that was almost a 2-hour session.
Yeah.
And that means that this man in his busy life sat down and listened to our podcast.
Yeah.
From beginning to end.
Very humbling.
That's amazing.
Very humbling. And encouraging all at the same time. And so I know these podcasts can be lengthy, but it's important because I believe there's people out there that are on their last brink and totally overwhelmed by the onslaught of attacks that they're under, and they may feel like
they probably thought that they were by themselves, that they were alone in this world, and
that's
you are
what I was
not.
Just about to say. They don't have anyone, or they don't feel like they can trust anyone, and no one can relate to what they're going through.
Not true.
I can't, and I know, and I'm here. So, if you
we're just a text away, an email away. We want to hear your stories. Please step forward. You have no idea what your story might bring to the table. You have no idea.
More and more people are feeling more confident to click that like button on mm-hmm. many of my posts where I discuss these occult practices. So it's really encouraging more victims to feel strengthened
yeah.
enough to say, me too. It happened to me
yeah.
too, or I know someone it happened to. And I want
yeah.
to encourage you guys to keep on clicking that like button. Even if you're not ready to talk about your situation, just click like so people know you're there.
It lets us know that we're getting a message out there and somebody's saying, because it took a while. It took energy to put that, click that like button.
It does.
You didn't have to.
Yeah. You sit there.
So we appreciate it.
On how people will see you, and you don't want people to know that you're a victim. Don't even think about it, 'cause probably at this point in time, if you've gone through the noise campaigning, the energy weapons,
the
stalking, I'm pretty sure that you've dealt with cameras being placed in places it shouldn't be, and all of that. So forget about what people think at this point. Survive should be your number one goal, and we're here to help you do that.
I think what everyone needs to do now is they just need to speak up.
That's
they
right.
really do. They need
right.
to tell their story.
That's
as I've
right.
told
because
my story.
The more stories we have
yeah.
that are
the book will
aligning.
Have. It won't be
yeah.
just single stories. There'll be a book.
No.
There'll
be
volumes.
They've done X, Y, and Z to me. It's the same thing they've done to her. It's the same thing they've done to him. It's the same. And they'll just keep on piling on top of each other where people can
it's a
feel
snowball effect. You know, it's a domino effect where you find out that you ain't the only one and that your
yeah.
story might be somebody needed to just hear that one more story, you know, before
yeah,
they turned and said, you know, I too feel the same way. You never know. You never know,
yes.
people. So I'm just saying, when we're reaching out to you, I mean, it's not like we are fishing for stories. We're not, but everyone has a story to tell. Everybody
yes.
does.
And even if it doesn't involve this occult practice
mm-mm.
or some other corruption you've had to deal with. You still
yeah.
can use
it works. Work corruption. I mean, you know, family. You know,
that.
being divisive and hate. Dealing with hate. People.
Yes.
There is love in this world. There
and
is.
Fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So please, I'm begging you, on behalf of God, to tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
Never know who might
else,
be listening.
If nothing else, leave behind just a nugget for someone else to grab onto and say,
amen.
I thought it was just me. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, Jewel, I never till this point of this podcast did I ever even reflect on what my life was. Because it was life.
I'm glad.
You know?
Yeah.
And then when
so
I heard
glad.
Your experiences and you've heard my experiences, then we're going, wow, there's a lot of similarity there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and so we're going through these things together as sisters, brother and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
Capital C. And, I'm just saying that,
yes.
it helps to hear
it
that
does.
There is a brother
it
or
does.
Sister out there that cares when your own sister doesn't.
Mhm. Yep.
And there's a son or a daughter out there that cares when your own daughter doesn't.
Yep.
So please don't be silent anymore. There's no need to be silent. This is not silence of the lambs. We're not lambs being led to the slaughter. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Although there are some certifiable people like the guy in the Silence of the Lambs that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
It isn't the Silence of the Lambs.
No, but I'm just saying the lambs get quiet because they know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And so, you know, people right now are thinking, well, I don't have any right to say anything. That's wrong. We're not in the 11th hour yet. There's still time
yeah.
to turn people.
There's time for you to pray for people.
See, that's the thing. That's what the enemy relies on. He relies on fear. He relies on isolation and hoping that if he places you in a space where you are isolated to be bullied enough, that you will be too afraid to speak up and to speak out. And
or you'll become a bully.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. I think one of the most shocking things for me in all of this is to see how many adults that I have never met before in my life were so eager to get on board to do negative things because of either hearsay or just to be part of
a lot of them are just following the Joneses. A lot of them are just following the Joneses.
And then when they find out, like, you know that you're doing this all to help a trafficking ring, and they're like, oh, no, I just thought it was a cool thing. Like, I wanted to be part of the cool kids. Like, what are you doing? What are you really doing? Take time out and really ask yourself, why am I just bullying someone and I don't even know why or the full story?
Exactly. But,
we have to grow up.
It's choices.
Yeah. Yep.
Make the right choice, people.
Absolutely,
turn to God.
Brother Thomas. And this is another reason why we have to speak up, because if we don't speak up, then the enemy shares false narratives, and we're wondering
why if we don't speak up, and they don't know the truth. Yeah,
well,
and if we don't speak up, the devil wins.
Yeah, because we'll be so, I think, enamored in shame and hurt. At least I know I was, because the pain of a parent doing that to a child, it's
did you want to tell that story, Jewel? Did you ever really want to tell that story? Did you want to tell that story?
I held it. Mm-mm. I think I held it as long as I could possibly hold
you
it.
You did?
Even all of these, watching more people just attack and have no clue that I'm holding this in because it's so painful to tell. And you're just, like, adding more trauma to a real traumatic situation. But, it just goes to show that we've gotten to a point where we are just heartless to one another.
Well, wasn't it enlightening, Jewel, for you? Was it not enlightening for you, Jewel, to finally get out and speak the truth? And you had, like, a revitalization that, you felt even more closer to God because of the choices that you had decided to make versus the choices that they made, and that you could rejoice in the fact that even through all of it, you saw God's love with you.
Yes. I must say, so in finally getting to this point of my healing journey, I can honestly say, like, I feel like not only did this help me to release it and help me grow through it, but I also feel like I'm helping others that may also be going through something similar and filled with so much shame and hurt that they've been.
Well, I remember, Jewel, the days when we first started that you were very reluctant to tell your story at all.
I was. It took a long time.
You were just going to go through and say, just read the scripture, and, you were going to just be on the outside looking in.
Yes, Brother Thomas knows. I really had to grow and heal through this, guys. I can't emphasize this enough. It's been a whole...
She's a whole different person once she started out, I'm telling you.
Oh, yes.
She's a barracuda now, where she used to be a meek and mild little kitten. Mm-hmm.
She's now that
panther.
Unfortunately, that's usually who they would target, those that are meek, humble, and kind, because
the assumption is
they're so nice that they'll probably never even tell who that we've done this to them.
Well,
right?
they'll just take the abuse. They'll just take
the
treatment
because
they don't know anything else to do. I never thought about retaliating against anybody. Do you think I ever thought about retaliating against my father? No.
And then if you do, God forbid, let's say one day I went rogue and, like, I can't take anymore. These people are vandalizing my car. They're vandalizing in front of my home. And you snap. Well, guess what? You can't tell your story then. By then, it's too late.
No, you can't.
They have already.
You're part of the story then.
Now you're on Channel 7 News on a whole nother story. and they feel victorious because that was the goal. I mean, it's like.
Yeah, they wanted you to retaliate. They wanted you to retaliate. They really wanted you to break out of your shell. And they had turned you again. And that's what the devil had told them. If you'll do this, she'll break. Just like Job. I told y'all people I'm a modern day Job. I lost my health. I lost my wealth and I lost my family. I really think that the devil said, hey, put him to the test. God said, go ahead. I guarantee you he's not going to turn. And I haven't. Out of all the things that I have dealt with in my life that I could have turned, I could have been, I chose not to.
And I'll tell you something else, guys, that if you've gone through anything that Brother Thomas or I have endured and made it to this kind of self-mastery level, I assure you that there is no third degree or any degree that another group can give you that's higher than the degrees God will give you for doing
Amen.
The right thing as his child.
When you live in favor with God, all things are possible.
Just remember you heard that first here. There's absolutely nothing they can tell you because they couldn't endure half of what they've done.
No.
You are a master of self.
Yeah. We came through it.
We did. And that's one of the reasons we're celebrating in 2025, because for many of us, it's been over a decade.
You're talking about the year of Jubilee? Yeah, the Jubilee has a whole different meaning, doesn't it, Jewel?
It sure does.
Jubilee?
It sure does.
Mm-hmm. It's not the Jubilee that people are thinking of worldly. They're thinking of, you know, prosperity and all that. No, no, no. Jubilee is realizing that you've been there, done that, and you've come out the end, and you see where the world is, and you're thinking, thank God I didn't go the way of the world.
Yes, yes. But I can look myself in the mirror and say, I did not choose to hurt, harm, cheat, kill, lie, steal, any of that for any financial.
And still willing to sacrifice, Jewel. That's the important thing.
Yes.
You, yourself, you're willing to sacrifice. Still.
Yes. To help others. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And have. Thank you.
So this is not a game for me. This is not a
it's life.
You know. This is real life. And
you know what, Jewel? You know what you are, Jewel? You're a life coach. You're a life coach.
Oh, that's the first I've heard that.
But it's true.
Wow.
I think we are. I think our podcast, we're life coaches. And I'm not saying I'm the authority. No way, no how. I'm just simply telling you, here's what I've experienced and what I felt and that I know that God is the way, the truth, and the only way is to turn from evilness and to ask God for forgiveness and to say, whew, thank you, Lord. I'm on the other side of that fence. Mm.
Amen. Amen. And I just hope that you guys are encouraged from these podcasts. I hope you guys can relate to us as human beings, right, and not terrorizers or homegrown terrorists.
No.
And
if you've got goodness in your heart, hold on to that. Because that's godly gift.
Be a good person. Be a good person. If there's anything I can leave you with, just be a good person.
Yeah, choose to be good, not bad.
You don't need
choose
to fit
to
into anyone.
No, don't live up to that social agenda. Don't step out there and say, well, I've got to fit in. No, you don't have to fit in. There are plenty of square pegs in round holes, okay? Plenty of us.
Here's the thing, right? If we don't put our foot down now and stop what these occults are doing and requesting for people to sacrifice members of their family, it's going to hit your front door at some point in time. If it's not for you, it'll be your child. It'll be your grandchild. And the thought of people acting as cruel as some of these individuals have to your child or grandchild without any other rationale as to why, just because they're greedy, how would that make you feel? So choose to be a good person. Choose to stand up for what's right and choose to make a difference. I encourage
Amen.
Your First Lady, Jewel. Over and out, guys. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Our podcast. You have a wonderful night.
Bye.
Bye.